You're listening to the Something Beautiful podcast. I'm Jonathan Blundell. Thanks for listening to the Something Beautiful podcast. This week, our guest is Cooper Taylor. He serves on staff in the community of faith that my family takes part in here in Forney, Texas.
I am the missions director at Community Life Church, a multi-campus church outside of Dallas. And I've been doing that now for about 6 months. As far as local outreach goes, we do partnerships with ministries in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Helping people in need. We do home repair projects throughout the year, and we do home repair projects for people that are in need on one particular Saturday every year when we try and get as many people in the church involved. So we do outreach like that locally, and then internationally we have a Guatemalan children's home that we started, and we plant churches in Africa. So it ranges everything from taking people on mission trips to helping put a new roof on somebody's house that can't afford it here in Dallas. So it's a pretty broad brush, but that's about the best explanation. I've always really enjoyed missions work. I've been to Africa a few times before I took this job, and always just, it, you know, really hit something inside of me that I was passionate about it from a pretty early age. When I was 20, though, is when I really felt that call. I took a year off from college, and I did missions work in Austria for a year. I lived in Vienna and worked with the Austrian Baptist Union. And at that point, that's where I really felt that call. I worked with refugees from Iran and Eastern Europe, Far Eastern Europe, and doing that work is really where I felt for the first time that this is what I wanted to do. And that kind of my desire to do missions work is really born out of that year more than any other point in my life.
Now, many times people hear the word missionary and they automatically associate it with people going overseas and living with third world people or tribes for the rest of their lives. That's not exactly the image Cooper wants people to be limited by.
You know, we take people on what are commonly known as short-term mission trips, and we do that every summer. But part of our focus this year is really we're changing the name from short-term mission trips to cross-cultural ministry trips. And so that really is to highlight the fact that, you know, doing missions work, like you said, that's a really poor term. We are all missionaries, and we are all constantly testifying to something, hopefully in every facet of our lives to, you know, a God that loves and cares about us.
With this passion for local and international ministry, Cooper had the opportunity to watch ministry happen firsthand in a big way when an F3 tornado struck our town of Forney last April.
April 3rd, 2012. It's drilled into my head, man. Drilled into my head. It was a really normal day. We had heard about tornadoes and the possibility of tornadoes in Dallas, and the one that went through Lancaster actually happened several hours before ours. And so several of us were gathered around my computer watching the video of those tractor trailers flying through the air, and we were actually commenting to ourselves how glad we were that that wasn't out here. And so that was kind of in the middle of the day, and then we heard tornado sirens, and we disobeyed, I think, every rule that most emergency responders would tell you to do. We went outside when we heard the tornado sirens. We went outside to go look and see what the situation was. And so as we were standing outside, we actually saw the tornado form and drop and go along the ground for a while. And it was amazing because many of us have lived in Texas our whole lives, and most of us don't ever see a tornado. So when we were outside and we saw the tornado, it was unbelievable. It was impressive and just mind-boggling. But the problem was is that quickly changed from, wow, that was really amazing to see, to, That probably hit some houses. And so right after that, we got in the car, drove, once again, probably disobeying every rule that emergency responder would tell you to do. We drove over to the area to see if there was anything that we could do to help. You know, we knew that there was an elementary school over there, and so the first thought, and that the actual first thing we did was drive to the elementary school just to make sure that that was still intact, because there were still lots of kids there. It was after school. I believe it was right around 4:15 in the afternoon, and we knew there would still be some kids there. So the first thing we did was we drove to the elementary school, and we were fearful that that was going to be hit badly. Fortunately, it wasn't. They had some damage, but it wasn't anything severe at all. So after that, you know, we drove over to some houses, and we were just hoping and praying that people were okay, because there were some houses that were almost totally demolished and very, very few bricks standing on some foundations. And it was, you know, something that you see, you know, we've become accustomed to now with seeing things on the news, but when you see it firsthand in the immediate minutes after disaster, it's really unbelievable. People walking around and shock and disbelief. And so we were just hoping and praying that nobody was injured badly or had been killed, because it definitely appeared to our untrained eyes like that could have been a possibility.
Seeing this devastation, Cooper and the people with him decided that they definitely needed to do all they could to help those affected by the storm.
You know, I was with Brian Binkendorfer, who used to work at Sea Life, and Barbara Wood, and so we were driving around, and all three of us decided that we needed to do something. And one of the pastors called the mayor, and we were designated as the donation drop-off location. And so the three of us went back and to the church to organize things, to prepare people to receive donations and prepare the building, you know, for all the stuff that we knew people were going to drop off. You know, we knew we needed to be available as late as possible. And so I really just volunteered to stay that night. I was 24 at the time and didn't have a family, and the other two people, Barbara and Brian, both had families. So I was the one that just volunteered to stay. And when I stayed overnight, it really just turned into Cooper was the de facto person in charge. And so you, when you're the de facto person in charge, you just start making decisions and you start organizing things. And that's kind of really how it started. We knew we wanted to do something, and it really, it's not like I stood up to the challenge and became a hero or anything like that. I just was the person that stuck around and was there. That was really the biggest factor in that.
Now, whether they planned to or not, Cooper and the rest of the team at Sea Life actually ended up spending the next several months working with the tornado victims and their families and trying to help not only recovery efforts, but also just restoration efforts, trying to get people's lives back in order.
People want to donate something, anything, after a natural disaster, which is amazing, and people's generosity is just through the roof in the immediate aftermath of a natural disaster. But sometimes out of that, you're left with a lot of things that, you know, you may not need immediately, and you may not need for a long time after a tornado, and things like clothing and things like that that are great and that you might need down the road, but people don't necessarily need that in the 6 hours when they're trying to determine, you know, who's alive and who's present and where everybody is. And so, you know, we were overwhelmed with donations, and it was awesome to see, but at the same time, you know, the disaster after the disaster is what I think people commonly refer to, the massive donations that you receive after an event like that. So, you know, obviously we dealt with storing all of those things and making sure they got out to the appropriate people. So, you know, the recovery effort goes on a lot longer than the 2 or 3 days after the tornado. Even after the debris is cleared and after the streets are cleaned up and after, you know, foundations have been scraped in some cases, you know, the recovery goes on a lot longer than that. And people are in the process of rebuilding their lives in a lot of cases after they've lost their home. So our role really transitioned from relief and distribution of really necessary supplies like drinking water and batteries and flashlights and food to, we got a lot of monetary donations and really just helping people rebuild their homes and navigate the insurance waters and things like that. So our role moved from relief to recovery, and there were a lot of people in the church and community that made that possible.
With all that in mind, I asked Cooper, what was the biggest lesson he learned, looking back nearly 14 months later?
Number one that I always tell people whenever they ask about that is don't take clothing. In the immediate aftermath of a natural disaster, whatever you do, do not accept clothing. People appreciate it and it's great, but at the same time, it takes up a lot of space that could be used for things like water and food and other essentials in the aftermath. So that's jokingly the number one thing that I said. Or that I respond. Honestly, the biggest lesson I learned is that, you know, in every situation, there's always, always, always people who are generous and willing to go above and beyond. And, you know, I encountered just so many people from literally around the country that came to help and give generously of their time and talents and resources. And it was just an amazing encouragement to see that. So honestly, the biggest lesson that I learned is that you will always be surprised by the generosity and graciousness of people around you.
Now, of course, we'd be amiss if we didn't give a big congrats to Cooper. He's actually getting married in less than a week from now on June 1st.
I'm getting married to an amazing, amazing girl. Her name is Katie. And she has a heart for people like you wouldn't believe. She wants to be a teacher, and she sees that. You know, we're talking about seeing yourself as a missionary all the time. And that is exactly her attitude. She sees being a teacher as her call in life, and it's not a job to her at all. It is a ministry in every sense of the word. She loves people, and that is her deepest heart, is to help kids, you know, through school, through the most formative times of their life. And so, no, I am marrying way above my pay grade, and that is in all seriousness.
Big thanks to Cooper for sharing his story on the Something Beautiful podcast. If you'd like to connect with him, he tweets at jcoopertaylor. You can also find us tweeting at SB Podcast, or I tweet at JD Blundell. Our theme music is An Owl Named Orion by danosongs.com. You can find a link to it and the other music featured on this week's episode on our website, somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. You can also see that amazing footage that Cooper mentioned of the tornado tossing semi-trailers around like tin cans on our website. Just check that out if you haven't seen it. It is crazy. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes, and then share the podcast with your friends. We hope you've been inspired this week to go out and create something beautiful of your own. And when you do, be sure to tell us about it. Perhaps we'll feature you on the next Something Beautiful podcast. Until next time, I'm Jonathan Blundell. Have a great week.